Well, this year marks the 13th year, believe it or not, I've been here a long time, 13th year I've delivered a Sanctity of Life Sunday message. And there are some years that maybe I had a special message for Mother's Day or Father's Day, but not every year. A lot of it depends on a preaching schedule and just how I sense the Lord leading me. And there are years I don't even have a specific Thanksgiving message, but for 13 years in a row, I've really felt like the Lord has wanted me to carve out special time to just teach about His love for life. And that is all life. You know, God loves the elderly and those dealing with end-of-life issues. And even though they have spent decades on this earth and perhaps they don't feel valuable anymore, or others may say, well, you take up more resources than you produce, so you're not worth keeping around. God doesn't feel that way. God can still use you, and He loves those people, and He wants to protect their dignity and their lives. God loves the handicapped and the disabled. He loves those dealing with mental deficiencies. And so again, although some may say they aren't worth the resources that it requires to sustain them, and folks, that's how some people think. God loves them, and He calls upon us to take care of them and to protect them. They can still have joy, and they can surely bring joy in the lives of others. God loves those who are dealing with severe depression and anxiety to the point that they would desire to take their own lives. He wants them to know that they can have hope in Him. He wants them to know that the troubles of this world aren't worth focusing all your time and mental energy on, because there is a glory you can experience in the world to come if you will just trust in the Lord. And I believe that God will judge harshly those who take advantage of people in these conditions and encourage them to take their own lives. And right now in Belgium, where euthanasia has been legal since 2002, including for depression and mental illness, a doctor has been charged with 9 counts of murder. According to the news, the physician claims the deaths were not murder, but were palliative sedation, which means giving them sedatives so they are comfortable in terminal conditions. And he claims he just wanted to stop the pain and they weren't euthanasia. Well, that's pretty convenient, huh? Give them overdoses of pain-killing drugs until they die. And they fall asleep and never wake up. And this is done without the knowledge of the patients or their families. And they tell the families they're just trying to keep them comfortable, but they dose them in a way that will accelerate death dramatically. Also in Belgium, 3 doctors are being investigated on suspicion of having poisoned a patient in 2010. It was a 38-year-old woman who had been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, which is a mild form of autism. And 2 months before she was euthanized by a doctor in an apparent legal killing that she had apparently asked for, except her family didn't ask for it. And the problem is how do you grant the request of someone with a mental illness or suffering from psychological problems to die? Their family filed a criminal complaint alleging that there were numerous irregularities in her death, and the doctors attempted to block the investigation. The doctors said, we must stop these people. In fact, that was the psychiatrist who approved the patient's request to die, Dr. Lief Thienpont. She's one of the doctors now facing charges, or she or he, I'm not sure. The doctor says it is seriously dysfunctional, wounded, and traumatized family with very little empathy and respect for others that would stop us. You see what they're doing? They feel like they must stop people who would protect life because we're the ones who are dysfunctional and who have no respect or empathy for others. That's a backwards culture where good is called evil and evil is called good. And understand in these cases, in Belgium, a psychiatrist has to sign off on all the lethal injections, and Dr. Thienpont has been the signing physician in around a third of all the euthanasia cases in Belgium. That sounds more like somebody with an agenda. There was a 2015 Belgian study that showed that more than 1,000 people died in assisted death without request in the year 2013 alone. That's in Belgium. God loves these people. He loves people that others say ought to die, in order to give those resources to people who could lead more productive lives. And God loves the unborn. God loves children. Children have a special place in the heart of God. When his apostles tried to keep children away, Jesus got angry. He said, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God." So today I want to go all the way back to the beginning, back to creation, so that we can see that God is the origin of human life, that he is the sustainer of human life. He is the lover of human life. And he loves us not because of who we are, but because of who he is. So when we look at the origin of life, we see that humans are created in the image of God. Genesis gives us God's account of how everything came to be. In the first 5 days, God created the heavens and the earth. He created light, the skies, the seas, the dry land. He created plants, stars and planets, birds and sea creatures. And I believe they are literal 24-hour days. I believe there is good scientific evidence that could lead one to this conclusion if they're willing to be unbiased when they look at it. And I believe this is important because if there is no God and Darwinism is true, then we are just the latest in a bunch of happy accidents. And we're no more special than any other species that happens to have survived. I believe it is important because if God began billions of years ago and created some primordial soup and struck it with lightning and just sat back to see what would unfold, then again, we aren't special in God's eyes. He just rolled the dice and we're what turned up. But if the Genesis account is true, not just a story that we get to interpret any way we want, but if it's true, then we are a special product of God's creativity, his crowning achievement. You could say he saved his best for last. On the sixth day, he created the land animals and all the things that roam the earth, from the bugs to the livestock to the wild animals. And up to this point, God has said, "Let there be." Let there be light. Let there be an expanse. He's also just said, let the waters teem. Let the birds fly. And after God created the animals, he had created all other things in the world. Then God said, "Let us. Let us. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, or the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." See, now he says, let us make man. Let us. God's actions here are direct, and they're thoughtful. He was thoughtful before, but this is something more. God did not say of any other part of creation that they were in his image and in his likeness. Only of humans did God say that. Now, we're not little gods like some cults believe. We won't become gods after we live this life either. When God made man in his likeness, it didn't mean that at all. It means that there are some attributes of God that in his creative goodness and in his love, he decided to share with us. And so when he said, "Let us," you know, when we look at the entirety of Scripture, we see that Jesus Christ actually did the creating. Colossians describes Jesus this way. He says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." Genesis 1 says the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep, and we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work in creation. We see the Trinity. And God has created us in his image. He's created us as a trinity of body, soul, and spirit. We are unique from the rest of creation in that. God is a reasoning being, and we reason. Sometimes our reason is faulty, but animals don't reason like people do. God is a moral being, and humans are moral beings. And even humans who say they have no morals and anything goes, well, you know what? They think it's wrong. They think it's immoral when you try to restrict their immorality. See, everyone has morals. It just, they may not agree with anyone. When people say you can't legislate morality, that's all legislation is. That's all laws are, is somebody's morality. Okay? It's just that every being is a moral being. It's just that our morals don't always agree with each other. And instinct cannot make the jump into reasoning and morality through evolution. It is only through creation by a reasoning and moral God. And so we love, we hate, we show compassion, we experience joy, anger, jealousy, all emotions the Bible says God has. And even I sometimes, when I wonder and I look at the state of humanity, and even my own heart, you know, I wonder, what is the big deal about humans? I mean, we've got issues. We do have issues. But even the psalmist wondered that. In Psalm 8, the psalmist says, when I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've set into place, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, that the son of man that you care for him? But he says, you have made him a little lower than the angels, crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over all the works of your hand. You have put all things under his feet. See, God has made us in his image, and he just chooses us as his crowning achievement, a little lower than heavenly beings. And when we're in heaven, we will be glorified. And so who are we to choose to take innocent or vulnerable lives of those created in the image of God? He crowned us with glory and honor. So our job is to bring him glory. And when we take the lives of others who are innocent and who are disadvantaged, when we kill the unborn, God's not glorified. God is not glorified in that. He doesn't bless abortion as some, and I can't even call them Christians. God will tell me someday if I'm wrong, but some churches that say abortion is God's work. No, we are not created in God's image to be destroyed. Destroying that image for the sake of convenience, that's not what God made us for. That's not what he wants done for those that he has crowned with his glory and honor. And so the bottom line is, we share in God's nature. And even though in us it is imperfect and limited, he still loves us. We share in his communicable attributes, his life, personality, truth, wisdom, love, holiness, justice. We share those things. And so we have the capacity for spiritual fellowship with God. And that means that there is a sacredness to human life. Second thing is, because we are made in his image, humans are valuable to God. This is God who needs nothing, and yet he finds value in us. The humanist or naturalist who thinks of this world in terms that there is no God, he says that we're no more valuable than other species. But God says we're just a little lower than the angels. Man says we're lower than bald eagles and spotted owls and snail darters and blunt-nosed leopard lizards and the Ozark big-eared bat. They're all protected. They're afforded more protection in this nation than an unborn human being. You know, last week in South Carolina, a wildlife group is being hailed as heroic because they are caring for a baby possum that was beaten blind with a golf club. Now, the group claims they could tell it was a golf club from the wounds. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources is asking for anyone with relevant information or eyewitness testimony to come forward. And I can't condone what they did, but they're planning to nurse this possum back to health and release it back into the wild. Now, I can't imagine how a blind possum will survive in the wild. But that's okay, because if she can't be returned, a volunteer said they would adopt her. And the last time I checked, over $8,000 has been donated to the care of this little baby possum. The outcry over this on social media is off the charts. People are calling for the authorities to hunt down and prosecute the evil fiends who did this. You know, when God gave man dominion over the animals, and that's what he did, it doesn't give us the right to cruelly torture animals. But we do have dominion. We are more valuable to God than animals are. He made us stewards over them. He gave them for food and for work animals, for some of them to be domesticated even. But sometimes we have to protect ourselves from certain animals and control them. But this culture that we're in now values animals as higher than man. Man's the one who ruins everything, they say. And so while people are fawning over an injured possum, it's a possum, folks. Okay? They're scavengers. A man named David Daladin is brought up on 9 different charges because he secretly filmed Planned Parenthood employees admitting they sold baby parts for profit. yet he's the one being charged. Do you get that some of the same people, okay, they would have you eat the Impossible Whopper, which has no meat in it. They would say you need to eat that, and yet they also say it's okay to harvest human embryos. That is when what God says, good is called evil and evil good. Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. That's God's heart towards you. I have it's kind of a fancy wooden desk chair at home that my dad had refinished. He was very talented at that kind of thing, and he made this seat of it out of leather, and he intricately tooled the leather, and it's really neat. There's a big giant K in the center of this, and the leather in the chair is starting to get a little brittle, and I'm afraid that if too much weight is put on it, it might even tear. I could replace that seat. I could rip it out and tear it up and throw it away and just put something else on there, but I don't want to do that. Because even though others would see that chair as a nice piece of furniture, and perhaps even a rehab project as far as the seat is concerned, I see my dad in that. And it makes it so much more valuable to me than to anyone else. And I think that's why God values us so much. Because he looks down and he sees himself in us. Because part of him is in us. We have great value in his eyes. It says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You know, God told Israel in the days of Moses, he said, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession. You are God's treasured possession. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people for his own possession. You're his treasured possession. And so is your neighbor. And so are the people living in Uganda or China, in Russia or Australia or Iraq. So are the people living in the inner cities of Philadelphia or Baltimore, where the abortion rate for African Americans well exceeds that of all other races. Those yet to be born are God's treasured possessions. God's eyes saw their unformed substance before he ever knit them together in their mother's womb. The psalmist writes that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows that very well. And we don't have the right to tear down and destroy what God has built and what God treasures. And so the bottom line is, it is very good to value what God values. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds, the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so God's command to us is to be fruitful. God has a command to be fruitful. God has given us purpose in this life, and one purpose, not our only purpose, but one purpose is to be fruitful and multiply. God also says that our purpose is to seek him and to know him and to glorify him. Our purpose is to tell others of his greatness and love. And a purpose is to be fruitful and multiplied. And I know there are people for whom this is a struggle and a heartache. And sin and the curse has marred this existence. So some are not able to do this. But if God has given us a purpose in general to be fruitful, surely it is a sin to do the opposite of that by killing the unborn. And God has also provided in this world people to take care of those who have become orphaned or abandoned. You know, when God created Adam and Eve for each other, he revealed his will concerning marriage from the beginning. Jesus confirms that, have you not read, he made them male and female. What God has joined together, let not man separate. And so just as man should not destroy marriage that's ordained by God, nor should we destroy a life ordained by God. So not only did God create us to be fruitful, but that the offspring are to be taught to love him. In Malachi, it says, did he not make them one with a portion of his spirit in their union. See, that's God's image. What was God seeking? Godly offspring. He's seeking godly offspring. And so the bottom line, it is very good for those who are able to obey God and fulfill our purpose, bearing fruit to glorify God. And you say, well, what about children created outside of marriage? Well, does God love them any less? Absolutely not. If it were possible, and it's not possible because God's love is already perfect, he can't love anyone else more or less. But if it were possible, he would probably love them more because of the disadvantages they're born with. And even when God had allowed a child to be conceived through sinful actions, he still desires that child to be brought to life and then be brought to faith and become godly offspring. The final thing here is that God's command is to have no other gods. What does this have to do with the sanctity of life? I want to share something I read about this week. Actress Michelle Williams, I don't really know who that is, used her acceptance of a Golden Globe Award this month to show her gratitude for living in a country where a woman can have an abortion. And she claims that she wouldn't have been able to pursue her acting career without an abortion. Ironically, as she gave this speech, she is visibly pregnant and has no problem talking about aborting the sibling of that child she is now carrying. Who is her God? Who is her idol? Is it herself or her career? It's certainly not God in heaven. When I talk about our purpose a few moments ago, our number one purpose is to glorify God. It is to glorify, to worship the God who said, "You shall have no other gods before me." And the abortion culture highlights the selfishness of humans. It emphasizes how much humans worship themselves over their creator. And so whether your idol is a career or an Oscar or a different award or expensive things that children won't let you afford, or whether it's Baal or Molech from the Bible, the results are the same. In Psalm 106, it says, "They served their idols, which became a snare for them, and they sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." I think we have a land that is polluted with blood today. The bottom line, it is not very good when our own lives or an ideology or a philosophy become more important than God's will. And the taking of innocent human life is idolatry. God made almost everything. Almost everything. He looked down and said, "It's good." And now he's going to make man. And it wasn't just some last minute decision. Okay? You know, it's like if you're making an ice cream sundae. And don't think this disrespectful, okay? You've got the ice cream, hot fudge, and nuts, and whipped cream, and whatever else you like on a sundae, and you look down, and you're saying, "It's not quite perfect." And then you put the cherry on top. Voila, it's very good. See, God saw everything he had made after he made humans, and it was very good. We're the cherry on top. Right? We're what made God's creation very good. And unfortunately, our culture is not very good when it comes to protecting the most innocent and vulnerable among us. How can it be very good again? Well, it will be very good when we all get to the heart of God on this. When all of us understand God's heart. The Psalm 72 says, "He delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. And from oppression and violence, he redeems their life. Precious is his blood, is their blood in their sight." You know, it will never be completely very good until Christ returns. It just won't. So what do we do till Jesus comes back and makes everything perfect? $8,000 raised for an orphaned, injured possum. Maybe there are some of us who can give. Not to possums, okay? But to Birthright, Kansans for Life, different organizations to protect human life and unborn life. Someone is going to willing to adopt this possum. We need to make adoption as a nation easier and less expensive. And ironically, people want to prosecute the people who hurt the wild scavenger while abortion up to the point of birth is legal. And while abortion may never be outlawed in our lifetime, you never know. Maybe some of us are called to be more active in working with legislation to make more restrictions and make this abomination to God illegal. In fact, many who are quite liberal admit that this Supreme Court decision in 1973 was wrongly decided. It was just a terrible decision. There are volunteers right now treating this animal. Maybe somebody needs to volunteer. You know, it's hard in a small community. We don't have crisis birth centers here in Valley Falls. And so if you want to volunteer something like that, you've got to drive. You've got to go a long way. And I understand that. Sometimes maybe we just need to get political. I know that's a nasty word. There was a debate held the other night. And every single person on that debate stage, every candidate is for abortion up to the moment of birth. And I don't consider myself a one-issue voter necessarily, but in any candidate I consider, and this is just for me personally, this is where my heart is, any candidate I consider, this issue holds more weight than any other issue. Our nation needs to repent. Maybe there's some personal repentance that needs to go on. But you know, if this is something that anybody's ever been caught up in, there, Jesus Christ offers grace and mercy. He offers forgiveness and healing. And if you've ever been involved with this in any way, God can forgive you and will forgive you if you just come to Him and confess that sin and repent. And He will begin to heal you. Nationally, Old Testament says, if my people who are called by my name, right, will repent and turn from their sins, I will heal their land. Okay? Pray for our nation. We need to pray against this worldwide push for abortion rights. And folks, we need to have grace. We just need to have grace. I don't have any condemnation for people who were pregnant and abandoned, pregnant and scared, pregnant and broke, pregnant and didn't know what to do, pregnant and lied to about the life that was in them. Okay, because they were used. And if they seek God, God will forgive them. It's the ones who lie. It is the ones who promote that I have a hard time with. And even then, if they will repent, God will forgive them. When God loves life, He loves all life as much as He loves me. So we need to honor God by honoring life, all human life. And we want to remember, again, because we see so many people as enemies in this, what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. He said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world. And that those are spiritual. Those are demonic things there, not human things. Abortion and euthanasia are satanic philosophies. The people who promote them are being used by Satan. And they need our prayer. They need our compassion, but they don't need us to enable them to do what they're doing. And so pray and work and speak and stand and love. And remember, one day, Satan will be destroyed. And Jesus said He will make all things new, and it will be very good. Let's pray. Father, we do come before You, and just, Lord, we lift this nation up to You. And Lord, we just pray that You would turn the hearts of this people towards You. Lord, that you would just change us one heart at a time. Change this nation. Spark us through your Holy Spirit to do whatever it is we can do to show the world your heart in this. Give us courage, boldness, and strength in Jesus' name. Amen.